Okay. All right. Better? Okay. So I was saying that September 11th, 2001, I was teaching an 8 o'clock class. And one of my students, a cell phone kept ringing. And I was not happy because I had warned them before class that we don't come to class to hear your cell phone ring. And so it was a no-no in my class. And so this particular student's cell phone rang about 3 times. And he kept apologizing, "Dr. Pong, I'm sorry, Dr. Pong, I'm sorry." At the end of class, he came and said, "You know, there's been a big problem in New York City. The World Trade Center has been attacked, many people dead, and my girlfriend was calling me to tell me what was going on." Now, looking back, we all see it. September 11 was a big turning point in our life as a nation. Almost 3,000 people died. That began the war on terror. I remember before September 11th, you go to the airport with somebody going to see them off, you can walk all the way to the boarding gate. Not anymore. And now you have to stop outside there. Oh, and then you have to go through security to travel because you become so security conscious. For many of us, that was a huge turning point in our lives. Oh, then we had a whole new administration system established, the Department of Homeland Security. How do you deal with crisis like that? I remember September 11 brought a lot of chaos and confusion in our lives. And it hasn't stopped. Ultimately, it led to Afghanistan, what we've been going through. At the time, I had not heard about Osama bin Laden before. Now we all know about Osama bin Laden and the subsequent things. But it looks like some things come to disrupt our lives. For some of us, we have had our own September 11 experience in our own lives. Anybody been there? Something comes in, just knocks you off of your game. For some of us, it may be sickness. It may be the death of a loved one. It may be anything, financial ruin, you lost your job. Some things you are not expecting comes to rattle you, shakes you. I look at our world today right now, same thing. Oh, I never thought that I'll pay for more than $2 for gas in Texas. And until yesterday I was celebrating, I called my wife, I bought it for $2.91, $2.91. This is Texas. I used to pay less than a dollar for gas. It went to almost $4, $5. Oh, and then something called COVID. Where did that come from? So for a period there, we were kicked out of our classrooms on the campus. I picked up this jacket this morning, and I realized that I had some strange thing in here in my jacket pocket. Where did this come from? COVID came to disrupt our lives, knocked us off our game. For some of us, it meant financial, big financial ruin. So how do you deal with difficult times, difficult change all around you? How do you stand firm in a shifting world of difficult times? I remember not too long ago we had that Snowmageddon. That's what my students call it, Snowmageddon, in Texas. Well, yeah. We had so much snow, we didn't know what to do with it. And we had no power. I remember my wife and I, the only light we had for 4 days was the solar pathway lights, solar walkway lights. We put it outside during the day, and then you take it inside in the night, and that gave us some light. The only way we could charge our cell phones was in the car. Oh, and then we had a drought this year. Every year I'm proud of my garden. This year, nothing. Almost all my plants died. And then we hear about climate change, you know, California and other places, flooding. It looks like things are changing all the time, and they seem to have a way of shaking us up, rattling us, disrupting life as we know it. So how do you deal with such unexpected, perhaps traumatic change? The Bible speaks to that. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the scripture says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, you stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." I don't know what you're going through this morning, but your father and my father sent me to come and tell you, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because your labor is not in vain. Father, I'm asking that you cause your children to hear you speak to them in their unique circumstance. Every one of us, Lord, cause us to hear you speak to us exactly what we need to hear. Lord, that in this situation of chaos and confusion in the world around us, that you are in control, that you are in charge, and you are unchanging, you are powerful, Lord. And nothing catches you by surprise. And therefore, Lord, we are safe and secure. Father, do your work as only you can. Let Jesus Christ be exalted and glorified. Amen, Lord. Amen. So, as I was thinking through this, this is what the Lord brought to my mind. The first thing, as we're going through, as we're facing a 9/11 experience, whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's in our life as a nation, the first thing is that God loves you and is not surprised by what's happening to you or around you. God loves you completely. And God is not surprised by what is happening to you or around you. You may be surprised that you got a termination notice. You may be shocked, hurt, and confused when you're laid off. But God isn't. You may be scared with the bad diagnosis. God isn't. You may be alarmed about what is happening with our government and political leaders. God isn't. You may be troubled by inflation, gas prices, political chaos, war in Ukraine, COVID, monkeypox. God is not. If you find yourself confused, shocked, or scared by what is going on around you, spend a few minutes with these words from Psalm 139. Psalm 139 says, "Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that God knows exactly where you are. Your Father wants you to remember that He knows your address. And He knows what you're going through. And it did not catch Him by surprise. Remember that God is with us through all that has happened, through what is happening right now, and what will happen. And God is not surprised. Did you hear that? Most importantly, His promise is that He will not abandon you any step of the way. He's with you always. God says He's with you always. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Let's remember that God keeps His promises. That God does not change His promises. Numbers 23 and verse 19 says, God is not man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent. Has He spoken and not act? Does He speak and not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Unlike you and I, who are unable to fulfill our promise because we are human, we don't have all the resources we need to fulfill our promise. God is different. And God keeps His promises. We can trust His promises. We can trust Him to do what He says He can do. Therefore, regardless what you're going through, regardless your 9/11 experience, regardless the challenge that you're coming from, whatever, the Lord says to you, stand firm. Let nothing move you. You know, that verse, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. It reminds me of the picture of a lighthouse. In the center of the picture is a lighthouse, your typical lighthouse, set on a rock in a storm. The waves are crashing around the lighthouse, but its foundation is firm, and the lighthouse stands secure. No matter what the storm throws at it, nothing moves it. In that same way, brothers and sisters, we should stand firm in Him regardless of what the world may throw at us. Let nothing move us away from the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Whether that be the storms of life or simply whatever. It is so easy to take our eyes off of our Lord. When we do so, we soon find ourselves adrift, sinking. Remember Peter, right? Peter was in the boat, and they see the Lord coming, walking on the water. And Peter says, is it you, Lord? Yes, if it is you, ask me to come, join you on the water. And so Peter gets out of the boat, takes one step, takes two steps, I'm walking on the water. And then he looks at the storms and the waves all around him, and then begins to sink. Cries out to the Lord, and the Lord reaches out and lifts him up. And they walk back to the boat. Brothers and sisters, if we take our eyes off of the Lord, guess what? We're going to be sinking. We're going to be overwhelmed by those circumstances. So the way to stand firm is to keep our eyes on the Lord. The Lord commands us to stand firm. Let nothing move you. The lighthouse does not just stand firm. It continues to do its job regardless of what is happening around it. The lighthouse continues to cast its beam out into the night. whether it's stormy or clear. And that should be true of us as well. No matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, we should be fully engaged in the work of the Lord. Not just on Sunday mornings or other special times, but always. Give yourself fully to Him in everything you do, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Brothers and sisters, we need to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that no matter what happens around us, we can remain steadfast, immovable, and continually bearing fruit to the glory of God. That's what He's created us for. Yesterday, I was at the men's breakfast and we had this beautiful illustration. Any of us grows tomatoes? I do. This year, my tomatoes all died. But think about cutting one of those branches, one of those vines, one of those little vines. Just leave it there for a couple of hours and go see how well it is thriving, producing fruit. No. Reminds me of John 15, verse 5. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, then you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Zero. So brothers and sisters, to stand firm in a changing, shifting world, we need to be rooted in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can stand firm, because we are receiving sap from the Lord as the food we need. And that keeps us moving on. So, yes, in this world, we're going to have all kinds of things come against us. Things that will seek to derail us. In fact, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 says that, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that our God is in control, and you are not the only one experiencing this. We can stand firm because our God is with us, and our God is in charge, and He is mighty, He is powerful, He is strong. Romans 8, 38, 39 says that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. And so we can stand firm on that. The one who promised this is the one who keeps His promises. We must stand firm because He Himself has promised, "I won't leave you, I won't forsake you." Some things are going to try to move you. Satan is going to try to move you. Sickness is going to try to move you. This world is going to try to move you. But we can stand firm because our God is in charge, and He is able to do more than we can imagine or think. Then third, it says in there that we need to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. It's not just standing firm, but giving ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. What does it mean? The work of the Lord isn't just church work. It's not just me standing here and preaching. God's work begins in creation. God is working through you and me. And every day, whether it's changing diapers, cooking a meal, making cupcakes, whatever it is, God is working in you to fulfill his purpose. Colossians 3:17 reminds us that whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The point in here is, whether it's teaching a class, meeting with a grad student to address their challenges, whatever, we need to let the Lord come through in us. Abounding in that work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. As people inspired by the hope of God's future, we are to be abounding in God's work. We abound in God's work when we give ourselves fully to it. Abounding also implies that God's work is happening in us. We are able to give ourselves fully to God's work only because God is working in us. God is revealing himself through us. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because the Lord is already fully at work in you. The thought that it's not me doing it, the thought that it's God doing it in me and through me, the thought that God is speaking that word through that person, that's what moves me. Philippians 2:12 through 13 says, therefore, my dear brothers, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now more, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Giving ourselves fully to the work of the Lord includes allowing God to work in us. I'm saying that every day as we're going about our normal activities, let's remember that God is working. Let him flow through us. I happen to be the face, but he's working. I like the thought that he speaks through even donkeys, and I'm happy to be one of those donkeys that God speaks through. Every time I have to speak to a large group when I go to our national conference, that kind of thing, you know my big secret? God has a word to speak to these people, and he's chosen me to be his vessel. So whether it's an academic setting, whether it's in my regular classroom, let's present ourselves to God so that God works in us and through us. Remember, Pastor Jim reminded us, we are here in this world here as his representatives. We are the people that he works through. And therefore, let's let God do his work in us. If we're to think about this verse here, perhaps a contemporary rendering of it would be, invest yourself deeply in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord includes evangelism, yes, prayer, yes, discipleship, worship. It includes what we do for most of our waking lives. As we labor in our workplaces, raise our children, invest in our neighborhoods, and gather with God's people weekly for worship, let's keep ourselves engaged in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is not something we do for the Lord. It is something the Lord does through us for others, and he does it as we give ourselves to him. And so let's give ourselves fully to God's work. The reason we are here, brothers and sisters, is so that God's work will be done through us. And we need to daily commit ourselves to it. When I was preparing for this, I heard a song yesterday. It was just a beautiful song. It said, Christ has nobody now but yours. Here are the lyrics of that song. I don't know whether we're able to play it, but I'm going to read the lyrics. It says, Christ has nobody on earth now but yours. Okay. Christ has nobody now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he sees. Yours are the feet with which he walks. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Are we able to get it? I don't know. I see something there. Are we able to play that song? No? Okay. But the point is that God has placed you here. And we are the hands or feet of Jesus Christ. And he's placed us here to make that difference in other people's lives. So be steadfast, immovable, always giving yourself to the work of the Lord. Because your labor is not in vain. Jesus says in Revelation 22 verse 12, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The day is coming very soon when we will stand before the Father and we will give an account. And so the challenge for all of us is to stand firm. Despite all the things that are going around us, let nothing move you. You were here for God's purpose. Give yourself fully to God's call on your life. Because you know that your labor is not in vain. Remember that God is all powerful and he's able to do far more than you can imagine or think. Those who believe have a most glorious assurance and thrilling confidence that every promise of God will be fulfilled in them. God will fulfill his promise. Let us rejoice in the fact that God is able to do more, much, much more than we can imagine or think. How do we do this? How do we stand firm when these storms are assailing us? I'm suggesting that there are several things. The first and foremost is that we need to stand firmly rooted on the promise of God. Stand firm on God's word. The second, keep communicating with heaven. I'm talking about prayer. Continually talking to God. And yes, we need to be telling others about God. When I'm going through difficulties and challenges, and people see those difficulties and challenges, and yet they see that I still have a smile on my face, they wonder why. Well, because my God is in control. Because my God has my future. Because my God is with me. It's a beautiful example of that in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 27, Paul has been captured because of the gospel. He's been sent to Rome. And he's in a ship that's taking him to Rome. Now, God had told Paul that he had to go to Rome and basically share about the Lord Jesus Christ there. And sometimes we think that as God appoints us, he sends us somewhere, everything should be dandy, rosy, no problems, right? Wrong. My reading assignment for you, Acts 27, read that for yourself. But I'm going to give you just some highlights. So he's a prisoner on a ship going to Rome. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw the opportunity, weighed anchor, and we sailed. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. So think about a hurricane. You're a prisoner in a ship and the ship has been caught on in the hurricane. As we passed the lee of a small island called Corda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship to hold it together because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Sardis. Verse 18, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. Think about this. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Listen. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Is that where you are right now? You are a prisoner in a ship that is tossing like a matchbox in a hurricane, completely out of control. And they had given up all hope of being saved. And this had gone on for days. And for days they did not see the sun or the stars. Are you there right now? Verse 21. After they had gone for a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice, not sailed." Verse 22, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Listen, "Last night, an angel of the Lord God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who will sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me.'" There's storms all around. It's chaos and confusion. But Paul is not perturbed. Paul is not moved, because he's standing on the rock. Because he knows that God is faithful. Because he knows that God keeps his promises. And while he's there, he's communicating with heaven, and heaven says, "Yes, chill, I'm in charge. I don't know what it is you're going through, but God sent me this one to tell you that I am in charge. Don't be afraid. Stand firm." Verse 33, "Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat." This is what Paul said. "For the last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of all of them. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. Our world is in chaos. It looks like everything's adrift. Political uncertainty. Confusion. Inflation. Climate change. Stand firm. Let nothing move you, because your Father is in control. Because this does not catch your Father by surprise. Stand firm, because he's faithful who promised, and he will do what he has said that he is going to do. Stand firm, because God knows exactly where you are, and he is going to do his work. I asked Esther to sing a song for us, and I didn't know what she was going to sing, but it's just like God is doing his work through her. So I think she's going to be a blessing to us. Thank you, Esther.
So I also didn't have a whole lot of notice before preparing this today, and I think it was intentional. I think that God knew exactly what song would be appropriate for this sermon and also would just be an encouragement to you. And worship this morning as well, the song Firm Foundation, went perfectly along with this sermon. And so just listen to the words of this song. Sing along if you know it, and we'll just let God do his thing. Why would I worry when giants come calling my name? My God is so much bigger than troubles I face. why would I hunger for power, riches, or fame? My God is so much better than all of these things. So I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I'll speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. My enemies scatter, 'cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won. Yeah, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. Oh, 'cause my God is greater than death, hell, and the grave. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be moved. My God is faithful, and his promise is true. So I'll speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. There's no mountain too high, nor valley too low. There's no fear that I have he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be moved. My God is faithful, and his promise is true. So I'll speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. So I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful, and His promise is true. So I'll speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. Amen.
The Lord sent me to remind you that whatever you're going through or you are going to go through, it's not a surprise to Him. The Lord sent me to remind you that He is with you always. He will not forsake you. He sent me to remind you that He is with you always till the end of time. So what do we do? How do we hold on? Let's begin by knowing God's word. I've not heard many of us talk about this, but scripture memorization. Start with this simple scripture that we've been talking about. Dear brothers and sisters, let nothing move. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself completely to the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. So that when you're going through these challenges, the Holy Spirit has something that He can apply in your life. So let's take God's word seriously. Let's memorize God's word, at least promises. Hold on to those. Let's pray. Let's stay continually in communion with God. Moment by moment, continually in communion with God. And let's rest in His promises, knowing that God knows what He's doing. Did you hear that? God knows what He is doing. And He's in charge. God knows what He's doing in Jim's life, Pastor Jim's life. God knows what He's doing in New Life Church. It's not time to be in strife, panic. God is in charge. Will you let Him be God and be in charge? So here's our charge. Here's our responsibility. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourself fully to God's work. Look forward to the reward. Repeat. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourself fully to God's work. Look forward to the reward. Repeat. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Give yourself fully to God's work. And look forward to that reward. That's what we're called to. So whether it is your personal 9/11, whether it's a crisis, nationwide crisis 9/11, let's remember that God is in control. Let's remember that God loves us completely and God keeps His promises. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder that you are in charge, that nothing about us is news to you. You have loved us completely. Lord, you keep your promises concerning us. Lord, thank you for the reminder through Esther that you are bigger, greater, more powerful than anything that the enemy can throw at us. So, Father, I ask that you help us to stand firm. Lord, you do your work in us and through us. Keep our eyes on you, Lord. Shine through us. That somehow your glory, Lord, draws the world to yourself. Thank you for what you're doing in New Life Church. Father, thank you that this did not catch you by surprise. Thank you that Pastor Jim and Christine are in your hands. Lord, they are safe and secure in your hands. And you know what you're doing, Lord. Complete what you have begun. Glorify yourself. Father, for all of us, I pray that we keep our eyes on you. Stand firm, knowing that you are faithful who promised, and you will do what you have begun in us. Thank you, Lord. We are safe and secure in you because Jesus Christ died and rose again. And you're watching over your word to perform it. Thank you, Master. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, let's receive the blessing of the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. Now, may God's favor rest upon you. May God cause his face to shine upon you. May he strengthen you as you stand. And may he speak through you, work through you, to display his glory and splendor. Go forth in his strength and in his power to be the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are the body of Christ here on earth. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. Go in peace. If you're going through a personal 9/11, you need someone to pray with, the prayer ministry is here up front. We'll be praying for you.